this week's Parsha, Parsha's Noach, Rashi tells us as follows. Noach built the Teva for 120 years. Says Rashi, Harbe Revach Vahatsula Lefunov. There was many different ways, many options, how Hashem could have saved Noach. If Hashem wanted to destroy and kill all the people, there was no shortage of ways what Hashem could have done to make sure that Noach was not harmed. Veloma hetrichoi bebinyan zeh. Why was Hashem matriach Noach for 120 years to build the Teva? We find in Chazal that Noach planted the trees, and after he planted the trees, and he cut them down, and he made them into planks of wood. There was a lot of work going on. So why did he do this? Says Rashi, "Kedei sheyiri anshe doy hamabel oisigbo meyav esrim shuna." Everybody should look. Suddenly, Noach has become a carpenter. He's become a builder. He's building this massive ship. V'shoyelim oisai, and they asked him, "Mazois lechul? What are you doing this for?" V'oymelehem, and he told them, "Usit hakadosh baruch hu lehovi mabel leolam." The Bnei Hashem is going to bring a marble to destroy the world. Ilai Yoshivi. And perhaps they will do tshiva and they will change their ways. But as we know, it didn't help. Now, think about it for a minute. You know, when it comes to chinuch, we hear that in chinuch there are some people who are more matzliach. There are some people who are less matzliach. You hear, there's a yeshiva, a school, a sem, very matzliach. And you hear others which are not so matzliach. But even those who are not so matzliach, but they still have a certain amount of talmidim, they have a certain amount of people who have become better. And here we have Noach. He builds a teva for 120 years. And how many people did he manage to convince and to make them change their ways and that they should be makabel, that there's a marble coming? How many people? The answer is not one. Not a single person became a changed person as a result. Not one person came into the Teva besides Noach's immediate family. 120 years of trying to change the world, and not a single person took any notice. How could this be? Noach ish tzadik tomahoye b'deroisov, and yet he was unable to change a single person. This is a kasha which the Mefarshim ask. And I once heard, I don't remember from who, a very interesting and profound teretz. When the rain started to come down, state in the pusik, Vayuvoy Noach mipnei mehamabel el hateva. That Noach was forced mipnei mehamabel because he saw it started to rain, it was pouring. He realized he better quickly run inside the teva. And Rashi tells us there, Vayuvoy Noach mipnei mehamabel, af Noach miketane emina hoya. Even Noach was also miketane emina. He was lacking in emina. Mamim ve'enoy mamim. On one hand, avada, he believed Hashem. On the other hand, ve'enoy mamim, he didn't truly, really believe that the marble would come. And only says Rashi, when dochakihi hamayim, the water forced him. He was left with no brera. He saw that the water is coming in all over. Everything is becoming flooded. He realized, well, obviously it's happening. And he ran into the teva. This Rashi is very difficult to understand. How could it be that Noach didn't really believe? It just doesn't add up. Noach was ish tzadik tomim. Es lekim es halech Noach. So the Abtaruf and Reb Tzudek HaKoyen, they explain, Avada Noach believed. Of course Noach believed Hashem. If Hashem says being a marble, of course they believe. But we know that in order for something to happen in this world, lemala miderech hateva, It only happens if a person has a minna. If you have a minna, a person goes to a tzaddik for brucha, and he believes in the koyach of the tzaddik, he has a minna, then the brucha will become fulfilled. But if a person doesn't really believe it, if he has no emina, it won't happen. Noach knew that in order for the mabul to come, he has to have a minna. But Noach didn't want the mabul to come, because Noach was hoping that somehow that the Rebbe Shem would spare the world. And although the Rebbe Shem had threatened to bring a mabul, Noach deep down was still hoping perhaps in the last minute Hashem will be mevatel gzeira. So therefore Noach decided, zuk the abterov and the psudik hakoyin, he decided, I don't want to believe that a mabul will actually happen, because if he doesn't believe in it, perhaps that will be the cause that the mabul should not happen. So Rashi says that even Noach mamin ve'eino mamin, he didn't really want to believe. Memela, now we understand why it was that Noach was unable to impress on a single person to change his ways. Because if Noach himself did not really believe or want to believe that there's coming a mabul, how can you therefore come and tell other people that there's going to come a mabul, and you want that they should believe you and they should change their whole life as a result? If you don't really believe it yourself, you cannot come along and impress upon somebody else the same thing. Sam Askunim once came to the Alter Biyan, the Rebbe, who lived in America 50 years ago, and they said to the Rebbe, they've come to ask him if he will speak to a certain gevir that he should give a large sum of money for a particular tzedakah, some very important tzedakah they were collecting for. And they'd approached this man, and he wasn't very warm to the cause, and he hadn't given them any money or much money. So they thought, if the Biyan the Rebbe will speak to this man, perhaps that will open the heart of this man, and he'll agree to give a large donation. When the Rebbe heard what they asked him, so he put his hand into his pocket and he took out a sizable donation and he gave them a large donation. So these Askonim were taken aback. They thought perhaps the Rebbe, in his old age, had misunderstood them. He hadn't heard clearly. They said, no, we didn't come to ask the Rebbe to give money. We're just asking that the Rebbe should speak to this person that he should give money. So said the Biyan, but I heard loud and clear what you said. But how do you expect me to be able to ask somebody else to give to this tzedakah, and that my words should have a roshim on him if I haven't given myself? If I haven't given myself, there's no way that I can come along and impress upon somebody else the importance of this thing and he has to give. Once I have given myself, then it's Tvorim HaYotzim in HaLev, is Nechnosim El HaLev. In the time of Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Zan Rasha Yemach Shemoi made a terrible gezeira, whatever it was, against the Yid. And the Askonim with the Rabbonim were looking, how can we send a delegation to the Tsar, somebody who could speak to him and get him to undo this gezeira and to be mevatel this gezeira, whatever he'd made? But unfortunately, they had nobody who was able to approach the Tsar. The Tsar was such a terrible Russian and anti-Semite that no Yid felt comfortable, felt he was even able to speak to him. Until they found there was one Yid. He wasn't a Shoyim Torah Mitzvah. But this Yid had very, very strong business connections with the Tsar. He built various projects for the Tsar, and the Tsar liked him because he built such beautiful things. And they, this Yid, he is somebody who the Tsar likes. We'll ask him to go to the Tsar, and he should speak to the Tsar and be mevatel this gezeira. So they went to speak to Rabbi Kiva Eger, and they told Rabbi Kiva Eger, we found a suitable person who can approach the Tsar, and somebody who the Tsar likes, and the Tsar will listen to him, hopefully, because he likes him and he needs his toivus. So who is it? So they told Rabbi Kiva Eger, this and this fellow, he's not from, but this Yid, although he's not from, he feels part of Klal Yisrael, and of course he's willing to help us and do whatever he can, although he himself is not a Shoyim Torah Mitzvah. Said Rabbi Kiva Eger, this person cannot serve for us as a shliach. Why? Because the Pusik says Al tivdechi benedivim beven udom she'ein loy tashia. Don't place your trust, says David HaMelech, benedivim, in people who you think are very rich and very powerful. Beven udom she'ein loy tashia. With somebody who's only a ben udom, he can't do anything. Said Rabbi Akiva Eiger, a new insight. Al tivdechi benedivim beven udom she'ein loy tashia. Don't place your trust in somebody who's ain loy tashia. It doesn't bother him personally. This person, he's not a shoyma Torah mitzvahs. So this gezeira against the Tzar, that Eden can't keep Shabbos, can't keep Torah mitzvahs, although he feels very bad for us, and he wants to help us, but it doesn't affect him personally, because he's anyway not keeping Torah and mitzvahs. Somebody who's ain loy tashia, he's not personally involved, it doesn't affect him, he doesn't take it to heart. As much as he says he's willing to help, you can't place your trust in such a person. You can only place your trust in somebody who feels, this is something which affects me, it bothers me personally. And this is the story of Noach. Noach was ma'amin ve'einoy ma'amin. He didn't really want to believe that the Mabul is coming. If you don't want to believe the Mabul is coming, there's no way in the world, even for 120 years, that you can convince other people that the Mabul is coming. Rabbi Ari Levine once went with his wife to a doctor. She had an illness, and when they came in, the doctor asked what the problem is. Said Rabbi Ari Levine, "My wife's leg is hurting me." That's a very profound comment. He didn't say, "My wife's leg hurts, she's got this problem." He said, "My wife's leg is hurting me." He felt part of the pain of his wife. Chazal tell us, "Ishtoi kegifoi." A husband and a wife, if they're one and the same. So, "My wife's leg is hurting me." When you feel the pain of another yid, when you're concerned for another yid, that's the way how you can help him. And then when you speak to that person, it's devorim ha'yoytzim min ha'lev and nechnusim el ha'lev. So we know these parshias, which we learn now, parshias Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecho, and so on, have many profound lessons. There's a Rashi in parshias Hazini, and the Sifri speaks about it at length. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he was Nifter, told Klal Yisrael, "Zechoy Yemois Oilam." Remember, days of old, days gone by. Bini Shenois Doi Vodoi. Bini, you should learn. So Zechfetifen, you should concentrate and learn with depth. Shenois, the lives of doi v'doi, of previous generations. Tell us the Sifri, who does this refer to? Who is Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Yidden that they should learn from? Says the Sifri the following words: "His hari masha osisi bedoiris harishonim. Take and lesson what I did to earlier generations. Masha osisi Bedoy Hamabel. Learn what happened in the Doy Hamagel. Marshal Sisi Banche Doy Haflogger. Marshal Sisi Banche Sedoim Vamoira." Carries on the Sifri and then says something which is, sounds to us unbelievable. Bini Shenois Doy Vodoy. You should understand and learn Shenois, the life of every generation. Says the Sifri, Ein Lechob Doya, there doesn't exist that there should be a generation she'ein boy ma'anshe doy hamabel. That every generation, there are people alive today who, those people are the type of people who are alive, same behavior, same lifestyle, same, not values, lack of values, the same as it was in the Anshe Doi Hamabel. Ve'ein lechol doi she'ein boi ma'anshe doi hafloga ve'anshe sedoim. In every generation, we have living today people who they are fitting candidates. They would be somebody, this is the type of person who was in the time of the Doyah Mabel, the Doyah Fluga, the time of Sedoim. The difference between now and then is, now these people are just Yechidim. One here, one there. Then it was the whole generation. It was the whole city of Sedoim. It was the whole area of Anshef Doyah Fluga. But today in every generation, there are such people. So what does this mean that we are being told? Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, Zechoyim Oysoylam. Remember there was a story of the Doyah Mabel, the Doyah Fluga, of Ansestoim. Binish Nois V'doy. But don't think it's just a history lesson. Something which happened a long time ago and it could never... No, today there are such people alive. Who are these people? What type of people are these? Comes along the Sfasemes, and he says a gewalti gewalt. He quotes from the Koshet Samagid. The Mishnah says in Ovois, Hakina, Vahatava, Vahakuvoid, Moitsiim, Esaudam, Minha Oilam. A person has kina, he has tava, he has covered, he can destroy his life, Moitsiim, Esaudam, Minha Oilam. Said the Koshet Samagid, why did Cain kill his brother Hevel? You want to know why? Kina. He was jealous. His brother Hevel, Hashem accepted his korban, and Cain's korban was rejected. So he had kina. What's Doy HaMabel? Tava. That was the aveira of the Doy HaMabel. Tava, Shchisis, Daka, Malahuretz, Chumos, Lenechtim, Gzadim, Elagezel. Tava. What was the aveira of Doy HaFluga? Kovoid. They said they want to make for themselves a shame. They want to become famous, fly to the moon. Amshe shame. They want to make themselves important people. This is the aveira of kovoid. So these are the three things: hakina, hatava, v'hakovoid. It starts with little small things. Why does this person have more than me? Why did they get chosen and I wasn't chosen? This is the shoirish. That's where it starts. But if a person doesn't control himself, it can spiral out of control and get bigger and bigger and bigger. We see today what we are alive today, and we see there's been so many wars which have been fought in recent history, and it's only because of kina, tava and kovoid. Because this president and this ruler and this dictator, he doesn't like it that somebody else should tell him what to do, that somebody should tell him that we want to come into your country and want to inspect whether you got this weapon or that weapon. No one's coming in. And before you turn around, they start shooting missiles at each other. And thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are killed. Why? Because kina, tava, and kovod is moitsiim et sa'udam min ha'olam. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Avodah Zarah and Daf Ches, Yoim shenivra boy Udam Harishon. The day that Udam Harishon was created, kiven shashoka ulav chama, when the sun went down and it became dark, Oma said Udam, Oili, woe is to me, shebeshvil shesarachti oilam choishech badi. Because beshvil shesarachti, because I did the aveira, I ate from the eitz hadas. Oilam choishech badi. The world's gone black. It's gone dark. Today we've got street lights. We can see where we're going. If you've ever been anywhere where it's in the countryside and there's no lights, it's pitch black. You can't see in front of your nose. You can't move. Oilam choishech badi. It's pitch black. I can't see. V'yachsa oilam lesoihi v'voihi. And it looks like the Ribbono Shel Olam is turning back the world, destroying it, bringing it back to how it was when it was first created. Like it says in the Pusik, that everything was soi v'voi v'choshech al pnei sahoim. V'hoyoshev betanus iboicha kol ha'layla. Tells us the Gemara, the entire night, Udam Rishon was sitting and crying. V'chava boicha kenegdoi, and Chava sat opposite him, and she was also crying. Kiven sha'ola omad hashacha, when it became daybreak, and the sun started to shine, Oma said Udam, ah, now I realize, min hugoi shel oilam hi. This is the normal way of the world. Vahi erev, vahi voike. You got dark and you got light. We need to understand, why did Adam HaRishon think, because he'd done the Aveira of eating from the Eitz Hadas, that the Rabbi Nishom is going to destroy the world and is going to go back to Soihi Vavoi? Rabbi Nishom told Adam HaRishon, B'yoyim achol chamimeni mois tomos. The day you eat from it, you are going to die. That's what Rabbi Nishom said. He didn't say that the world is going to be destroyed. It could be the Rabbi Nishom will make a new Adam. Nish Adam HaRishon, call him Adam HaSheni, Adam the second. So it'll be a different Adam. This Adam had died. Rabbi Nishom will make a new. Why did Adam think, because he had eaten from the Eitz Hadas, therefore the entire world now needs to be destroyed? All the animals, all the birds, all the trees, the entire world is going to be destroyed. Why should he think so? Shteit in Medrash in Koheles in Perek Zayin. B'shur shabur HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adam HaRishon. When the Rabbi Hashem created Adam HaRishon, not loy v'hechziroy al kol ilunei gan Eden. The Rabbi Hashem took Adam HaRishon for a tour across gan Eden. V'omaloy, and he said to Adam HaRishon, re'ei masai, look Adam HaRishon, kama noem im shibuchim heim. Look at Masai, look at the creation which I have created the world. Look how beautiful. We know when we go sometimes on a holiday, come to a beautiful lake, beautiful mountains, beautiful scenery. It's stunning, it's so beautiful. The Rabbi Nishloilam took Adam HaRishon on a tour of Gan Eden and said, Rabbi Nishloilam, Adam, look what a beautiful world I've created for you. And all that I've created b'shvil cho barusi is only for you, for Adam. Tendatecho shloi tekalkel v'tachriv es elumi. Take care, be careful, do not ruin and do not destroy my world. This is what Hashem told Adam HaRishon when he created Adam HaRishon. Comes along the Mesis Yeshurim in Perek Aleph, and he quotes this Medrash, and says the Mesis Yeshurim, if we delve into this a bit deeper, we will understand that the entire world was only created for the purpose of man. But the world, says the Mesis Yeshurim, he oimed b'shikoil gudoil, is standing in the balance. The Baruch Hu created for us a beautiful world. Oh, but how this world is going to be is standing in the balance. Kim ha'udam nimshach acha ho'olam imisrachik miboiroi. If a person is going to go away from the Rabbi Nishloilam, hinehi miskalkel imakalkel ho'olam imoi. Not only will he ruin and corrupt himself, he corrupts the entire world. Says my sister Shuman, if he's going to perfect himself and become a tzaddik, he misale. Not only does he become greater and more perfect, but the world is misale. The world becomes perfected with him. In this week's parsha, we find a very puzzling thing. State in the pasuk, not only were the people in the time of the Mabul terrible Roshoim, state in the pasuk, hishchis kol buso estarkoi al ha'oretz. The entire world came along, hishchis kol buso, and they all started behaving in a way which was a way of hashchusa. And says the Chazal, what does this mean? That the animals and the birds and all the creation started, instead of the cows staying with the cows and the sheep with the sheep and so on, and the lions with the lions and the elephants, each one went to a different min. Each one ended up going somewhere else. How does this happen? Animals don't have a bechira. How did this happen? Tells us the Beis HaLevi that this happened because when man comes along and becomes corrupt, not only does he come corrupt, he corrupts the entire world. And we know B'shas the Mabul, the first three tefochim of the earth were all had to be destroyed and eradicated. Why? Because the earth itself had become defiled. A person can defile the ground, he can defile the animals, he defiles the entire world. So Hishchis Kalbuso es Darkoi al Ha'uretz. Then the first Knessia Gedoyla took place in Vienna in Chodesh Elul, Tufresh Pei Gimel, 1923. And we know very often at the end of summer it can be very hot. And the first Knessia Gedoyla, all the Gedoylim came, the Chofetz Chaim, with Reb Chaim Moizer, Chodkiv Rebbe, Ger Rebbe, Rebbe Chonan Wassman, Rebbe Nachum Zemba, many, many Gedoylim, and 5,000 Yidden crammed themselves into this large hall. Now, today we know we build buildings with big windows, we have fans, we have air conditioning. In the old times, they didn't used to have big windows, tiny little windows, you could hardly get in any air. There was no fans, there was no air conditioning. And there was a heat wave. It was boiling, boiling hot. The night before the Knessia Gedoyla was about to start, there was a meeting of Rabbonim in the home of the Chodkiv Rebbe. And one of the Rabbonim, in the middle of the meeting, said, "I don't understand how we're going to be able to sit tomorrow. 5,000 people crammed into this hall. It's going to be unbearably hot. There's no air. We're not going to be managed. I can't manage. What's going to be?" And when the Rebbe heard what this Rav said, he suddenly said, "You Rabbonim are all guilty that it's so hot." They were taken aback. What did the Rebbe mean? How could he say it? What does that mean? And he said a very original idea. And he said as follows. We know in English there's a saying, "Too many cooks spoil the broth." That's a famous saying. When one person cooks something, they cook it how they like. When you have too many people, this one adds in a bit, this one takes off a bit, adds a bit more sugar, a bit more pepper, a bit more flavouring, makes the flame higher, makes the flame lower, doesn't come out right. Too many cooks spoil the broth. It's actually a Gemara. The Gemara says, Kitra debay shitfa. When two shitfim, two partners, cook something, says the Gemara, it doesn't come out right. It's lo chamima velo karira. It's not hot and it's not cold. What does it mean? Because if one person turns the flame up, so the other one turns it down. If one turns it down, the other one turns it up. It doesn't come out. It's not hot and it's not cold. Said the Rebbe, Chazal tell us, Kol haloyma Torah l'shma. Anybody learns Torah l'shma, Nasa shitavim HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereishis. You become a partner with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in creating the world. Kol haloyma vayichili, you keep Shabbos. Nasa shitavim HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereishis. We become a partner. So if we are a shitav with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, said the Rebbe, that's what Chazal tell us. When shitvim, kitvim be shitvim, when shitvim cook something, it's lo chamima v'lo karira. It's not very hot, it's not very cold. So the weather was just right, not too hot and not too cold. Unfortunately, today we see there's Yeridus Hadoiris. People are not behaving as they should be, not learning as they should be, not keeping Torah mitzvot as they should be. So we have lost that partnership with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So if we've lost that partnership, either it's too hot or it's too cold. Said the Rebbe, here's a meeting of Rabbonim. If all the Rabbonim will yet be makabel upon themselves to be more careful, to pasken correctly, and to learn Torah Lishma, and mi'etz Hashem, the weather will go back to being normal, and it won't be too hot and not too cold. And they all said the makabel. The next morning they woke up, and the heat wave had broken, and it was a normal geshmaka, cool, nice day, and everything was okay. We know today we hear a phenomenon of global warming. We don't know, is it true, is it not true? Some scientists say, yes, it is true. Others dispute it, it's not true. You can debate it, von hart bis morgen, if it is or it isn't. That's not the point. The point I want to make is, if there is something in it, and they've got quite a lot of evidence to support that there seems to be some type of global warming, it wouldn't be surprising. Because, as we said, in the time of the Mabul, Chishchis Kolbus Azda Koyal Uretz, the whole world became corrupt, they corrupted the world. So we see the same thing. If one doesn't behave correctly, it's either too hot or too cold. So this is what happened. And this is what happened in the time of the Mabul. We see, it's written in the Torah, after Noach came out the Teva, state in the Pusik, he drank some wine and he became drunk. The Mephoshim ask, how can it be? The Groyser Noach, Noach is tzaddik tomahoye b'deroysof, such a great person should become drunk? How could this be? Write this Fasemes, very important yesod. Lefi peshito yeshloima, shenishtani hadoyrois, vahateva. The world became a different world. The world after the Mabul was not the same world as it was before the Mabul. The little bit which Noach used to drink, and it never affected him beforehand, Noach can't be the Noach become chasrum, a shikah, start drinking and drinking. Says the Tfasemes, Noach drank the exact same amount that he used to drink before the Mabul. But now it was a different world. And that amount which he used to drink didn't affect him. Now suddenly it affected him. The world had gone down. Similarly, writes the Ramban, we see the first generations from Odom to Noach, they lived 900 years, 800 years, 700 years. Came the Doi HaMabul, suddenly Nebuch, they weren't living so long, only 250 years, 300 years. Nebuch, Azam Amishta, were nifty young, Nebuch, a tragedy, 250, 350 years, disaster. Went by a few more generations, it wasn't even that. But Avraham Avinu, when he was 90, says the Torah that Avraham Avinu was Zukim Bo Bayomim, 90-year-old man. 90s, Zukim, what happened? They were just living a few years earlier, 300 years before the Mabul, 800, 900. What suddenly happened? Zuk de Ramban, Kashabu HaMabul Al Ha'uretz, when the Mabul came to the world, Niskalkal Aleim Ho'avir. It became polluted. Today we know we speak also about pollution. This wasn't just, says the Ramban, a spiritual pollution. It was a physical pollution. Niskalkal aleim ha'avir, v'holchi yemoisem huloich v'chusoy. And slowly but surely, this affected them. They could no longer live in such a world for so many years because the world had become polluted. I heard once from the Biyana Rebbe Shlita, he told me, we know sometimes people don't understand, he said, we come along and we make all these new takonas for the tzibur. He was speaking about internet, about mobile phones, and we make all these takonas, and people say, why do we really need it? We don't remember years ago we had this takona and that takona, so why do we need it? He said, the answer is written here in this Tfasemes. You see, there can be something which in previous generations, it didn't bother them. It didn't affect them. They were able to live normally and they could carry on their lifestyle and it didn't affect them. Noach could drink, he didn't become shikah. It came after the Mabul. The same amount that he used to drink then and didn't affect him, after the Mabul he drank it and he became shikah. Why? Because there was Yeridus Hadoiris. Not just Yeridus Hadoiris, the world had gone down. Niskalkel Ha'avir, says the Ramban. It's no longer the same world. So if it's no longer the same world, therefore it affects us more than it affected previous generations. When the Satmar Rebbe was in the Eretz Yisroel, he went to visit the Chazon Ish. And he said to the Chazon Ish, I've got a shala which I want to ask the Chazon Ish. The Rambam paskens that if you live in a generation where most people are a Shoim, you've got to leave town and run away to the wilderness, to the Midbar. Said the Satmar Rebbe to the Chazon Ish, why are we not keeping this halucha, this psak which the Rambam paskened? We are surrounded here by Rishoim. And the Chazon Ish said to him a moedika answer. And he said to him, our shuls, our yeshivas, our moisters, our seminaries, those are what insulate us from the outside world. We are Mekayim, this Rambam. We don't have to run away to the Midbar. What the Rambam meant was we have to separate ourselves. If need be, you have to run away to the Midbar if need be. But we don't need to run away to the Midbar, said the Chazon Ish. We run inside shul, we run to our yeshivas, to our moisters, to our seminaries, and there we insulate ourselves. And that's the place where we separate ourselves from all the hashpuas which surround us. So, as I started off, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, and he says, Zechoy Yemois Oilam, Bini Shenois Doivodoy. Remember the story of the Mabul. But don't just think this was a once upon a time story which happened thousands of years ago. No, Bini Shenois Doivodoy. There's every generation are people here today who are these are people who are the type of people who was the time of the Mabul, the time of the Afloga, the time of Sodoim. So what's our Eitzah? Our Eitzah, we have to realize that and we need to protect ourselves. We run away inside our moistures and we protect ourselves. And through that, Emitz Hashem will be Matzliach and the Boshem Helfen. We should all have a good Shabbos and a good Yom Tov.